Does anybody here like Lego? Does anybody here not like Lego? Right, good luck in the next 10 minutes. Last call. If anybody does want something to draw in, do grab one now, because I'll probably be speaking for about 20 minutes, so do grab one while you can. No? Now, I've got a task for you, each of you this morning. Well, those of you who want to get involved with a bit of Lego. Now, I'm going to hand out some bags of Lego in a moment. One lot for this side, one lot for this side. And in the bags is some Lego. I want you to just hold the bag. Hold the bag when you get one in a minute, and I'll then tell you the instructions of what you need to do, okay? This side, I want you to have a bag from here. So if you want to help hand them out, actually, do you want to hand them out?
Do you want one?
Grab it if you want it. Grab it if you want it. Grab it if you want it. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'll
take that. Now, don't look inside, don't open it quite yet, otherwise you're going to spoil it for yourself. I know I've lost. It's always a risk, isn't it, giving out Lego? I've lost you for the next 20 minutes, haven't I? Yeah. Now, everybody got a bag who'd like to take part? Yeah. Excellent. Now, after I've explained what we're going to do, you've got 60 seconds to do what you've got to do. Okay. So I'm going to imagine a scenario. Imagine this scenario. You've been invited to a party, and it's the best. It's one of those parties that you really want to go to. And with your invitation has come a bag with some Lego in it, because your Lego is your ticket into the party. Okay, so you've got to make sure you turn up with your Lego. Now, in 5 seconds, you're going to build what it tells you to build in the instructions in your bag. Ready? Go. 60 seconds. Ten seconds, you've already had. In your bag should be the instructions of what you need to do. Thirty seconds, done. I've never seen a smile like that on someone's face, John. You're clearly enjoying a childhood. You can spot where I am in my life, can't you? I wasn't denying that. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop. Okay, stop. So there's the scenario. You've been given your invitation. You've then got the Lego, and you now turn up. Can you hold up what you've created? Someone hasn't read the instructions. Okay. Now, what you lot don't know is this lot, we're given the instructions. You've got to build something as complicated as you can with the Lego you've got. Now, let me show you what they had to build to get into the party. You had to build this. Okay. Now, can you be my judge for a moment? How well? Hold it up. Anybody done well enough? No. Sorry, you lot, you're not getting in. Now, what did you have to build?
No.
They didn't have to build anything. All they had to do was turn up, because I'm going to give you what you need to build. Now, you might think, why have I done that? Well, the Bible teaches us that when this world comes to an end, there is a great party, the best party you can ever imagine. And Jesus sends out the invitations. The question is, will he let us in? What will it take to let us in? Now, hold that for a minute, because some of you are thinking, how on earth does this relate to Mother's Day? But we will get there. Some questions about Mother's Day. Who here's got a mum or had a mum? Did anybody not have a mother? Okay, I'm glad you've all got a mum. And Mother's Day is a celebration of what our mums have done for us. But we also have to recognise that for some of us, it's not always a happy day, is it? Some mums are no longer with us. You know, we'll go and see mum's grave later today, my mum's grave. Some of us never knew our mums. Some of us wish we never knew our mums. But for some of us, there's that pain, isn't it? We wanted to be a mum, and for whatever reason, that never happened. Other of us, it's the pain of we've lost the connection with our kids, or maybe our kids have even passed away. Well, wherever we are at emotionally today, the passage from the Bible we're going to look at uses the idea of motherhood, uses the great parts of motherhood as a parable. Now, what is a parable, I hear you ask? Thank you. One person was listening. Yeah. What is a parable? Yeah. You might want this, those of you doing the quiz. A parable is where the Bible uses a story that we understand and uses it to explain a situation we don't understand. So a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So a parable uses a situation that we experience in everyday life to help us understand a situation we don't experience in everyday life. In the case of motherhood and family is what we're getting in our passage. And it uses the idea of motherhood and family to explain how we become members of Jesus' family and what's it like to be part of his family as well. And my prayer is that as we celebrate motherhood, we can celebrate the goodness of our God too. Now, think back to your mums. Here's a question. Hard question. What can mums do that dads can't do? And I am asking that question. Thank you. Give birth is one of them. Everything.
Suckle.
Yes. Did everyone hear what Andrew said? Suckle. Breastfeeding. Yes. Birth, breastfeeding. And what happens before birth? Pregnancy. Pregnancy. Yeah. It, you know, it doesn't matter what the world around us says about what makes a human being a male or a female. The point always will remain, the fact will always remain, that unless you are genetically female, you cannot be pregnant, you cannot give birth. Technically speaking, you can give a man enough hormones that he does lactate. I got told that by Laura's district nurse with a huge grin on her face. I didn't fancy it myself. Well, that's a huge introduction to where are we going with our passage today. In a moment, I'm going to get Chris to come up and read it to you. It's in Isaiah 66. And in Isaiah 66, it uses the parable of motherhood to explain how do we get into the great party at the end of time. Chris, may you come up.
The reading can be found on page 625 in the Bibles and on page 794 in the large print. Isaiah 66, verses 7 to 14. Amen. Before she was in labour, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labour, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all who mourn over her. That you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast. That you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be shown to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. What an amazing passage. Who would have thought the Bible could be so graphic when it came to motherhood? Did you spot the three areas of motherhood in there? You've got pregnancy, you've got giving birth, and you've got suckling in there. So verses 7 to 9, let's focus on those for a minute. They help us to consider motherhood in terms of how easy it is to give birth. So let me ask you a question. For a normal child, how long is pregnancy? 9 months, and the specialists apparently split that into three trimesters. The first 3 months, you feel sick. The second lot of 3 months, you go through some bizarre cravings. The best one I came across, not with Laura though, was ice cream and mustard. Brilliant. And then the third trimester, it's when's it going to come out? And at the end of 9 months, what happens? Well, I think as a man, I'm not really qualified to ask anything about giving birth, am I? Now, I'm sure you get the point. It goes without saying that the pathway to motherhood takes an extremely amount of effort. It is hard work. So imagine for a moment, which is what our 36 verse 7 said. Sorry, 66 verse 7. Imagine for a moment how wonderful it would be if you could experience motherhood. You could experience birth without pregnancy, without the labour. It just happens. Imagine for a moment how wonderful it would be if you could know the experience of having a whole family, giving the motherhood of a whole family without the pain and effort. And the parallel, the reason the writer is using this illustration of motherhood and how hard it is and how amazing it would be if you didn't have to go through all that but still got the benefit, is what it means to how we can become members of the family of God. Because we can think it's going to be so much effort, so hard to do it. It's going to be so hard to make the right ticket so that we get in. What if it could be free? And that's the point he is making here. Now, not all, let me make a side illustration here. Not all religions and philosophies teach a way in what happens after death. Some of them don't even have an afterlife. But I don't know whether you've come across those that do. But there's something they all have in common. What's the one thing they seem to teach? If you look at all philosophies and religions that have some form of something happens next, a level two, whatever you have, what is their teaching mainly about? Any ideas?
What
have
you got to do?
What have you got to do? Yeah, now, has anybody come across the various things you have to do if you were to make the afterlife, whatever the religion?
Give alms.
Give alms, yep. Pilgrim, yes, yes. Some of them say you've got to go on certain pilgrimages. Yes. Some you've got to harm yourself in certain ways. Some you've got to learn something things. You've got to do a certain number of things for a certain amount of time. Sometimes it's a matter of getting in the right state of mind so that you would do it. And these lists of what you do and what you don't do, are they generally easy? No, of course they are not. Because we're always left with a question, is how much is enough and how good is good enough? Can we ever know? Do you think with the Lego I gave you, if you had more time, could you create this? Could you have created this with more time? Could you have created this if you made more effort? No, it's not going to happen, is it? And that's the picture we've got here. Doesn't matter what, how much time we've got, how much effort we give, we're never going to get there and be good enough. Because it is through Jesus that he is the one who makes us good enough. He is the one that puts the effort in. So it's possible to be born into his family without the labour, without that pain of childbirth. Isn't that amazing? Through the efforts of Jesus, his death, his life and resurrection. That's one of the questions on your sheet. Through the death, the life and the resurrection of Jesus, we can be made right with him. Trying to be good enough is like giving you a whole box of Lego. And I nearly brought a whole box in. Enough time, even without the instructions, we're never going to be able to build what we need to build to get us in. The task is impossible. Failure is guaranteed. But Jesus says, here is your ticket to enter paradise, to enter the party. I have paid for you to come through. Through my life, I have earned what you need to enter my party. Through my death, I have made you clean so that you can enter my party. But you know, there's even more benefits than this in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the worst thing that happens? You turn up, imagine you're going on holiday, you go to the airport. What's the one thing, what's your worst nightmare as you turn up at the airport? You forgot your passport. Imagine turning up to the great party and you've left your invitation at home, or you left your Lego at home in this case. Do you know the great thing with the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't need a ticket. He does it for us. He has got the guest list. So as we turn up, he says, you're on my list. Here's your ticket. You can go through. I paid for it. I earned it. You're on my list. You can come through. So it is possible, like this picture of motherhood. Is it possible to have it without all that pain, all that effort? Well, humanly, no. And spiritually, we can't do it either. But through Jesus, we can. And it can all sound to be too good to be true, isn't it? Anything's free, there's always a catch somewhere, isn't it? But if you looked at verse 9, it says, God says this, shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I who cause to bring forth shut the womb, says your God? Well, the answer assumed there is, well, of course not. Of course not. You know, when it came to Nathan being born, there were complications. So Nathan's here. Sorry, I didn't mean to pick him out, but he is here. Those who don't know him, my son, number one. He was awkward. Nothing changes. Takes after his father. He had to be born by caesarean, C-section. And when Daniel came to be born, Laura was given so much gas on Earth, she was on another planet. And what's really, really funny is in the pictures you see, I'm the one looking tired and stressed. No, it was amazing. It doesn't matter what happens, a child shall be born. And if you're a Christian here today, the confidence we can have from the parable of motherhood is that we shall be born again. We shall be part of God's family because it's what Jesus has done and not through our own effort. And that's what makes biblical Christianity different from anything else. It's not about what we do, the labor, the effort, the time. It's all about accepting what Christ has done for us. And that is amazing. Yes, to be a Christian, to be part of his family is free. But before I go on to our last point, there's something I need to make clear. It is free to be free to us to become a Christian, but there is a cost to being a Christian. Even today, some of you may know hundreds of people will lose their lives because they are Christians in many countries around our world. And we're even beginning to see a rise of hatred against Christians in this country too. Our efforts don't get us into the party, but it's because we know we are going to the party that we make an effort. Yes, we will be admitted into paradise, as the Bible calls it, the great wedding party of Jesus. It is free to us, but to live as a Christian, to live as a child of God while we wait for that day takes an effort. You know, think about the parties you go to. What do you do to get ready for a party? Well, what you might do, most of us do. Dress up. Before that, you might have a bath, you might have a shower, you get ready, don't you? But does having a bath get you in? Not normally, unless you smell that bad. Normally, we make an effort because we are in the party, and that's why, as a Christian, it's not our effort that gets us in, but we make an effort because we are in. So Jesus pays for our ticket, which he freely offers to us. There is a significant commitment that comes to be in the family of Jesus. So is it worth it? And that's what the second part of our passage was about. So in a sense, the first part, those of you like nice, I couldn't get our headings to work with how I was doing today, so sorry, I haven't done a PowerPoint. But those of you who like a nice structure, in a sense, for the first part, you could give it a really controversial heading like this, the motherhood of Jesus. Of course, God is Father, don't get me wrong. The motherhood of Jesus. Jesus saves, Jesus preserves, Jesus guarantees. So that's what I would have done, those of you who like a nice structure. And now we're moving on to the childhood of Christians. We look at the motherhood of Jesus, how he saves us, how he preserves us and guarantees our eternal life. And now we're looking on to the childhood of Christians. What does it mean to be part of a family? So again, let me get you thinking this way by asking you a question. Maybe with the person next to you or on your own, whatever you prefer. What's so good about being in a family? There's a question. What's so good about being in a family? Now, of course, not all of you have families. You might want to think, what's so good about being part of my church family? I'll give you 30 seconds. Now, anybody would like to share what's so good about being in a family? Friendship, I heard. Xanthi. Cuddles, yeah. Trust, love.
Security.
Security. Yeah.
Sharing.
Unconditional love. Yes, there's something about familial love, isn't it, that is unconditional, yeah. Yeah.
Working together.
Now, what I'm going to get you to do now is to just scan your eyes again through verses. If you close your Bible, it's Isaiah 66. I've forgotten the page 625. 10 to 14 again, and just ask yourself, what is the benefits of being part of God's people? Now, you'll notice the word her comes up a lot. Now, in a sense, to make it easier to read, you might want to replace the word her with the family of Jesus and see how that works. What are the benefits of being part of the family of Jesus? Just read it through. Well, I hope as you read that through, there are some really good reasons to be part of the family of God. Jesus gives us a free ticket, but to be part of his family and to be part of his party. But we need to work because we're part of that. But the joy of being part of the family makes it really worth it. Did you see in verse 10? The joy that we have that we can share with each other. And that mourning there is a mourning for sin. So we help each other when things go wrong. In verse 11, you've got the picture there of a baby being fed. This is what we've got here. And that shows how that we, through God, he sustains us through his word and prayer. But also it's how we sustain each other by looking after each other. Do you remember at the beginning of the year? For those of you visiting us, do grab one of these cards that is out on the foyer. We looked at, what does it mean to be a Christian? Why do churches exist? What's the point of St. Richard's? And it is that we live the whole of our lives to Christ by knowing him. by showing him, I'm sharing, knowing him through his word and prayer, by showing him through here, the way we live our lives and the way we talk to each other is the way we show Christ, and sharing him, talking about him together. That's what it means to be in family. That's what we've got pictured here. And verse 12, it's the positive influence that we have with each other and with other people too. And in verses 13 to 14, as Christians, there is a hope and a comfort that is knowing that we have our tickets paid for and it's guaranteed entry into our eternal life. Well, today you've listened really, really well. Thank you for being part of today. We celebrate motherhood, but motherhood is also a parable of how Jesus works. We may be reminded of how Jesus has given us a free ticket without the labour, without the hard work, to be part of his family and to have eternal life through him. So may we stop trying and start trusting in him. Amen. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for the reality of your word. It doesn't shy away from really graphic scenarios that we can understand, but you then use them as a picture to help us understand how you work. Thank you that through Jesus, his life, his death and resurrection, he has paid for our ticket. And so he offers it to us. Father, when we hear and see your ticket offered to us through your word, through each other, help us to respond. And when we accept you as our Lord and Saviour, knowing that we will be part of your family through what you've done, help us to live a life that is in keeping with the way you'd have us live. Father, help us to stop working in our own strength, but trusting you and what Jesus has done for us. In your name, amen.